The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time to look back at some of the topics of the week, and we are joined by Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, Padraig Tobin, who's leader of AIMTHU and TD for Meath West, and Fergus O'Dowd, Fine Gael TD for Louth and East Meath. Good morning and welcome to you all, and I had intended to be there with you, but I don't want to give you my bug, so I've stayed at home. Hope you forgive me. Now, let's talk about teachers and career breaks. Fergus, is this a banana skin of the government's own making?
No, I think it's a reality that we don't have enough supply to meet the demand that's there. And that's why we have to use whatever mechanism is available to increase that. One of the issues is being considered, and it's only being considered, is to look at non-statutory leave. And one of those, obviously, are career breaks. But there's no proposal not to go ahead with them or not to continue them. But the government has to look at all options. And to be honest, teaching is a very challenging position. And we need to get more people in there. We need to get more part-time teachers to go in. We need to get more substitutes to go in. And I suppose one of the things is to increase pay for that work. And I don't expect and I don't anticipate that there will be an end to all career breaks.
But do you think that this was something that has gotten out of control? We heard of one school yesterday, 11 of 25 teachers are off on career breaks.
Yeah, well, that is an issue. I think this is non-statutory leave, so therefore I think if we can organise it better and ensure that, you know, career breaks are good, people get extra new experiences, they can get new qualifications, they can bring back to the school or to the country new ideas and new ways of doing teaching.
I'm not sure. They bring back a pot of money. That's basically the truth.
Yeah, but they also bring back cultural knowledge. They also bring back other skills. They may be working in other European countries or wherever.
I mean, there are some who go off to Africa and work helping those are underprivileged. There are others who live in an expat cosseted community in the Middle East and, you know, only learn about each other. They could do as well at home. Anyway, we'll park that for the moment. I want to go to Pather to get his take on it, because in all parties, virtually, there are people who are teachers and who are on career breaks.
Yeah, so 91% of secondary schools are currently experiencing problems recruiting, and 55% of principals are saying that there are vacancies in their schools. And I was speaking to a parent there today who said their child has three teachers at the moment. So one teacher comes in for Monday and Wednesday, another teacher comes in Tuesday and Thursday, and another teacher comes in on Friday. And the school feels that they're lucky to be able to provide that arrangement. But there's no doubt that what's happening is...
I'm sorry, this is job sharing.
It is.
So no continuity for the child.
No continuity for the child. So there's a corrosion in the quality of education that children are experiencing at the moment. Now, if News Talk wants to get more people into their journalistic office, what they do is they improve the terms and conditions so that it becomes more attractive to people to work in News Talk. That's the same in any business or any organisation in the country. But the government don't seem to realise that in relation to teaching, and have actually suggested the opposite. So rather than saying that we're going to improve the terms and conditions, they're saying actually we're going to disimprove it, make it less attractive, and therefore less teachers are going to start to go into the process.
So are you saying that the perks they have of being able to take endless leave on a career break, non-statutory leave, that we should give them more?
There's a simple market and supply issue here, Pat. Like, you know, if you make the terms and conditions worse for any staff, isn't that the reason?
I mean, they take the jobs because they maybe part of this is the long summer holidays, etc., etc. We know all about those, but also the potential for career breaks. You can actually have your entire family of two or three kids never going back, and then your job is waiting for you. There's virtually no other sector besides maybe the civil service where that kind of offer would be made.
Well, okay, so CAO applications for 2022 saw a 9% drop in the number of people applying for educational courses. So that means that this situation is going to get worse until we find a solution for it. And all we're saying is to make sure more teachers get into the profession, we need to make it more attractive. If you look at the salary that teachers are earning, if you look at the conditions that they're experiencing, we as a society are valuing them less in vis-a-vis other professions than we did in the past. Now, we have a question to ask ourselves. Do we believe that the education of this generation of children is a highly valuable objective? And if so, then we need to provide value to the professionals who deliver that service.
Pat, can I
They are very well paid by international comparisons, by the way, Pather. But anyway, Elaine wants to come in, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner. Elaine, yes. What's your take on this?
I just wanted to come in and pick up on something that Pather said there in relation to job sharing. You know, he mentioned that it is the corrosion of the standard of teaching in some cases. I think teachers who are mainly female, we know that job sharing can be the difference with them continuing with their career and having a family and giving up the career that they have and love and are very good at. And we know the statistics prove that women far more than men do drop out, leave their careers when they go on to have children, and those statistics increase depending
but
on the number
of children. Do you think it's satisfactory in a primary school where the one teacher teaches everything? That's the usual thing. You have Miss, and as you say, it's normally Miss rather than Mister for the whole year. But instead, you have Ms. A on a Monday, Ms. B on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Ms. C on a Friday. Is that satisfactory?
Well, if you look at the secondary level education, you could have 6, 7, 8 teachers a day teaching different subjects.
Yeah, but they're each teaching their own subjects, and that is a continuity in its own way. When you're teaching everything, one primary school teacher takes all the subjects in the class, so you've got one person doing it on a Monday, one doing it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, one doing it on Friday. Are they talking to each other? Are they indicating which child might have a problem? Who needs help? I don't know if that's happening.
Can I come in just briefly? You mentioned the salaries the teachers are getting, but you've got to remember the cost of living here. So a one-bedroom apartment in Dublin at the moment is €1,600 a month. That's 19 grand a year. Okay, so for a teacher who's on a starting salary of maybe, you know, 31,000-32,000 euros, that leaves after tax probably less than 10 grand to pay for everything else that teacher is experiencing. So, while the salary might be good in international comparators, in reality, these teachers are living in a country that is the most expensive place to live in terms of accommodation, etc. And that's why the problem is so acute in Dublin and most of the commuter belt areas, because they can't afford to live in these areas, and that's why they leave for other professions or they go abroad.
The other point, Pat, is we need to attract
We
need to attract more men into teaching, particularly in primary schools. And I mean, that's an issue as well. And we also need to, I think, one of the solutions, if people are training in education to become teachers, is to have more class contact hours while they're training, while they're doing the postgrad or whatever in those schools. Also to try and attract people who have retired from education back into even part-time teaching, and to make, you know, because they have a lot of skills and knowledge as well that they could possibly impart. So there's lots of challenges, but the point is that we need to get more people into the classroom, and I agree we have to make the conditions better for them. And I think the question of different teachers teaching a class professionally, they'd have to have teaching notes, and they'd have to have a scheme or a plan of what they're teaching and what they've done. So if a teacher is out, that there is a clear continuity. I think that they're not just going in willy-nilly to, you know, on Tuesday to talk about something, you know, that may have been discussed on the Monday the different way.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know how they handle a three-teacher rota. Elaine, the question of, you know, teachers in Dáil Éireann on career breaks themselves, it's a hazardous profession. There's quite a turnover at every election, so you can't blame them for not giving up their permanent pensionable jobs in teaching, lest the electorate turn them down. But it does kind of stick in the craw a bit when you've got a minister trying to implement some sort of change when she is benefiting herself from the regime.
Yes, and I think maybe while Minister Foley thought it was a good idea to address what is really a crisis in obtaining and keeping staff in the teaching sector, there are a number of issues with it. As you mentioned, we have a high proportion of TDs and ministers who have been or have worked in schools previously. But also we have to look at teachers are public servants, and other categories of public servants and those working the public service also get career breaks. So are you going to introduce...
Yeah, but they don't get big, long summer holidays in other, you know, departments of the civil service.
They don't,
you know,
but
there is an awful lot of free time available to teachers already. And I think that's what, you know, the listener reaction is, oh, come on. You know, try working in normal business for a while and you'll see how privileged a situation you're in.
Yes, but on the other hand, can you see a scenario where the unions are going to be happy where one public servant is entitled to take a career break and another public servant isn't? And it also came at a time just a few weeks after Pascal Donoghue signed off on €20,000 bonuses for bankers and increasing the threshold, the 500,000 pay threshold. Yeah. So on the one hand, you are extending the perks to one sector and then taking some of the perks off another sector. And we did as well see back in the recession when we did introduce the kind of two-tier system in relation to pay, new teachers being on a different level of pay than existing teachers. This would probably be seen in the same light if you ban career breaks for teachers from now on and allow others to keep them.
I mean, there are other structural things that can happen. This text: my wife is a teacher. It took her around 8 years to get a full-time job. She came very close to leaving the profession until she got full-time. Three of her friends did leave the profession because they could not get full-time. This is one reason why people are no longer interested in the profession. And part of the reason, of course, they can't get full-time is because so many teachers are hanging on to their jobs even though they're on career breaks.
And on top of that, Pat, I think once you get a full-time job in a school, you might get a full-time job in a school in Dublin, let's say. You might be from Clare, would like to go back to Clare, but hang on to that job because you cannot move from one full-time position in one school into another. You're back down the bottom of the list again. So that's a difficulty.
And that's why
as well.
The contracts for indefinite duration, they've reduced the number of years to qualify for that now, which is good.
They have. But you don't keep the job you have. Once the teacher comes back, if there's no place in that school, you have to move.
But that's not satisfactory. But we're firefighting here, and you know the department identified that there was a need for 4,000 extra teacher places over the next 5 years. And just this is very reminiscent of the school bus transport situation, where it seems that the government are on the back foot firefighting in terms of these crises. You know, there is a master's that people can do over 2 years to become a teacher. It's 14 grand to do that master's. It used to be only a 1 year master's degree. And, you know, there is a real entry barrier for people who want to get into the profession at the moment. And I just can't understand, when we see all of these barriers to people being in the profession, why the government seems to be focusing on the issue of career breaks.
I think, Pat, I disagree with you on the school buses. In fact, there was free school transport provided to thousands of families who had to pay for it previously.
And tens of thousands of families still waiting for it.
I'm just making the point. It was a question of some buses weren't available to be driven because they didn't have drivers to drive them.
But what about organising that?
I don't want to fight with you over this on air. What I'm saying is free transport is a damn good idea, and this government has provided it.
Not for everybody.
The second point is there is a second route now available from some higher education institutions to qualify as post-primary teachers over a four-year period without having to pay your post-grad subscriptions. And it means that you can get more teachers into the classroom because of that.
Yeah.
It's a different
route. Quick question to any of you who can answer this question. Is it still a requirement to have Irish if you're not teaching Irish as a subject?
I think it is, I think, as far as I know. But that's not bad to have a knowledge of the national language. I support that principle definitely, and I think it's important.
If you want to be, a maths teacher in a secondary school, and you come from Eastern Europe and you've been living here for 5 or 6 years, you'd love to be teaching mathematics, but you can't unless you have the cupola.
No, I like the fact that Irish should be a qualifying subject of knowledge, not to teach, but to have a knowledge of some knowledge of Irish.
So
I think that's good.
All of the new Irish so-called who don't have Irish would not be able to teach.
No, I agree that there needs to be changes, and I accept absolutely that you should be. I think you should have a knowledge, some knowledge of Irish to teach in our schools. The answer to that is definitely yes. But I take the point that you're making. I'm proud of our national language, and I'm delighted that I'm lucky enough to be able to speak it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do down Irish at all, Pat. That's my personal.
In the few minutes that remain, I want to talk a bit about Strep A, and I'll go to you, Elaine. Do you think there's a bit of hysteria? Now, it is a tragedy if a child has died of this Strep A infection, which, you know, many people will have strep in their throats and come to no harm. but if it invades the bloodstream and so on, it can prove to be very difficult and potentially fatal. But is there a bit of a national hysteria about strep A at the moment, Elaine?
Well, I think following COVID, parents are very much aware of all the bugs and viruses and are maybe more cautious when it comes to their children. And we don't want to forget the children who've died both in Ireland and the UK as a result of this. But even in our own paper today, we had GP Dr. Dennis McCauley stating that the majority of cases of children, you know, with the symptoms, the sore throat, the cough, the mild temperature, usually he would ask those type of patients to wait 2 days before going to the GP, and that's traditionally what would have happened. But now those children are being brought in on day one and are being given antibiotics. So in the longer term, you know, when we talk about resistance to antibiotics, which is a major concern, are parents doing the right thing in all cases by putting kids on antibiotics when maybe waiting a day or two is might just be as good? But obviously as well, when children are sick, they should be brought to the GPs and to A&Es.
Yeah, listen, it's deepest sympathies to the parents who have lost their children to this. It's heartbreaking for any parents. It's the worst thing that can happen for any parent. But the information that we have is that this illness is no worse currently than it was pre-COVID. And that's an important thing for parents to understand.
It should be a reassurance.
It should be. Now, but there is a major problem with the procurement of penicillin and other antibiotics at the moment. We don't have a government pharmacist. We do have the position, which is there, but is not filled and hasn't been filled for the last number of years. That's a weakness,
okay,
because it means that we are the state is not getting the necessary information as far as the supply chains for antibiotics within the system.
Yeah, which is very worrying. We talked about it earlier on the program. A final word on that, strep A as a worrying thing for parents, but not necessarily the stuff of maybe some of the hysteria we're seeing.
It is very worrying, Pat. And again, I have sympathies with families who have lost loved ones. I think I have a colleague who rang the doctor and called. His daughter was very sick at night. He rang 18 times. He didn't get an answer. And he didn't go down to the hospital. He was about to, only for the child's temperature to reduce. So there's a key point of availability of resources, particularly at night when parents worry most and children seem sickest. Okay. So we need more facilities, communication, public knowledge, information out there to help people.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately. My thanks to Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, Padraig Tobin, Leader of AIM2, and TD for Meath West, Fergus O'Dowd, Fine Gael TD for Louth and East Meath. Couple of comments to finish. I'm a public health nurse. I applied for 1 day a week parental leave. I was refused. As they said, there's a staff shortage. Give me a break with these teachers. They have it handy, says Marie in Dundrum. I work in the Department of Agriculture. While there is a facility to apply for a career break or shorter working year, it's not guaranteed. It requires to be signed off by a line manager. If the workload is too large, this may be refused. If there's a shortage of staff, it will be refused. Why should it be any different for teachers? So, no sympathy.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.